You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, thank you for the children that you give us, for the families that you give us in every shape and form that they come in. You are the one that forms our families, Lord, and we're grateful for that. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with us in this time as we talk about this certain thing, certain dynamic of what if my child isn't on a school team? And help us, Lord, as we speak on that topic. Be with Tara and Gunter. Be their mouths, Lord, as they speak this morning. Lord, may you speak and be in our minds and in our hearts as we hear you. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this class is called What If My Child Isn't on a School Team? And I would love to hear from both of you. I'll start with you, Tara.
Okay.
Who are you now? And who were you in high school?
Okay. I'll start off with, I'm Tara. I am in my 40s. I am the children's ministry director here at the Advent. Greatest job ever. Part of that job is supporting teachers. That is why my phone is here right now. If I tap it a couple of times, it's to make sure we don't have any emergencies happening with our 9 classrooms going on right now. But I'm married to Kyle. We have 2 children, 5th grade boy and 3rd grade girl. And I'm a follower of Jesus, a sister, a friend, a colleague. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of things.
And who were you in high school?
In high school, I was very independent. I would say I worked hard in school. I cared about school, but it was not not a huge stressor in my life. Not because I was just thriving and excelling. I studied and had to work, but I did work hard in school, but enjoyed that. I did not do any school teams whatsoever. And here I am, guys. I made it. You know, like, it's all going to be okay.
The medium is the message.
Yeah.
This morning.
No school teams. I did not have a lot of parent involvement in my home. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more as we go on, the pros and cons of that. But I kind of balanced having friends, hanging out with them, had alone time on my own. High school is probably when I started learning that I liked running and exercised on my own a bit. So I would say I was pretty balanced. Not a huge stressed out high school career. And I very much appreciate that now, looking back on that and try to reflect on those reasons why.
Thanks. Okay, Gunter. Who
am I now? I am a sinner saved by grace. Truly. I am Gunnar Owens, and I'm married to Rhett Owens. I'm 43, and I have 2 children. Helen is 13 in 8th grade, and Charlie is in 4th grade, and he is 10. And I work here in children's ministry. I'm an associate director of children's ministry with Tara. I love my job. I love being able to work here. I love our church family. I love your children. And in a former life, I was in special education and was a board certified behavior analyst, and really thankful that the Lord led me to work here. And then who I was in high school, that is such a fun question for me. It's a loaded question, I think. Who I was in high school? I mean, I would say I was a little bit lost, but totally thought I was like knowing what I was doing and where I was going and how I was being. I really loved to have fun. I loved to get around the rules. I loved to buck authority. You know, there are very few authority figures in my life that I had a lot of respect for. And so that, you know, showed in my behavior and demeanor and choices. I would say there was an administrator at my school in Montgomery who brought me into his office. I think this had to have been in 9th grade. And he said, this desk, it was this huge big brown desk, this desk represents your brain, and this post-it pad is how much you're focused on academics. And the rest is your social life. And he was right. So I did play sports in high school and in junior high. I was naturally athletic. I loved to compete. I loved being part of a team. I loved being coached. I would say being part of a team did oftentimes lead me to be with older kids, doing older things. And I went to a couple of schools, and I ended up graduating from boarding school, so you can like make your own inferences there. But it was very good for me, and yeah. And that covers it.
This is a helpful. You tell this one time, and it's hilarious. You had an aunt that sat you down one time and said, "There will be people in life that can get away with things."
Yes.
And you were not one of them.
Yes. It was actually really a wonderful freedom and eye opener, because I really did my whole life feel like, now hold the phone. This girl over here didn't bring her homework yesterday, and she, you know, the teacher didn't check. But the day I don't bring my homework, the teacher checks. And later, when I was asked to leave one boarding school and I was talking to my family afterwards, my aunt said, "This is actually a gift to know that you will always be caught for anything that you do, and everybody else won't be. And so here's the deal. If they're going to do something bad, just say, 'I can't go with you,' because you're going to get caught. If I go with you, you'll get caught, you know, but if I stay out, y'all might get away with it." So, and that was actually a pretty good out for me. Once I had matured past the, like, let's go and do, this sounds like fun.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. Pertinent to today's class, this is not a revelatory comment. There seems to be a lot of pressure involved in extracurricular activities in life. Not being extracurricular, but being the standard. Mm-hmm. Did either of you feel pressure to be an active kid in extracurriculars when you were in school growing up?
Yeah, great question. I did not at all. And I do see such a stark difference from then and now. But there was such beauty and freedom and rest in that, not feeling pressured either by peers or the school or my parents to do those things. And out of that, because of that, I really did make a lot of decisions on my own. I went and found a job and started making money and learned how to make money, save money, spend money, and got to come home sometimes and take naps after school and be by myself and reflect. It wasn't, okay, you got home from school and now you've got to do this and we've got to sign up for this and then go to this team and this coach. I personally did not experience that. And so stressful was not an adjective that I would have put on my high school years in terms of outside of just school being pressured to do all of those things.
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot here. What was your job in high school?
So many. Y'all ready for this? So start off with babysitting. And then I thought, wow, having time to make money is really nice. And then I worked in a restaurant that some of you may know, Davenport's Pizza Palace. And then I worked in retail. And honestly, the range of those jobs taught me so much. The retail job was awkward, and I had worked in a store where that experienced some different things that I hadn't been used to and had to learn how to navigate a difficult boss. And but all those things I'm so thankful for now. I would have never had time to do that had I been feeling the pressure to be involved with all of these school things and had I done that. So, yeah.
I can see how those are all people-facing jobs. I can see how as a teenager, that just helps you grow and develop as a person.
Yeah.
Dealing with people.
Yeah. And outside of your own peers, you know, I worked all of those jobs. You're not alongside your peers and you're not with your parents and parent coaches and things like that. So you're kind of just thrown out to the world and figured it out. But it was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay on pressure, Gunter. Did you feel pressure for extracurriculars to sort of be the norm for you when you were growing up?
I would say no. I mean, I wanted to make teams and be a part of that, I think, because of social things, but also just wanting to compete, be an athlete, that kind of thing. The only real pressure I feel like I felt from my parents was to be at church on Sunday. I mean, truly, that was like the line that my mother drew. Like, we were at church every Sunday and on Wednesdays as well, if there's like a church dinner. We were there. I was always the acolyte for people who were out of town, even if I didn't want to be. I think half the time, too, as I was older, my mom might have suspected that I had snuck out the night before, and so then it was like, we are going to church tomorrow. I think it's a little bit of a, like, you still got to get up and go. I don't know. But I would say that would be the only kind of pressure thing. But as far as, like, my faith developing and all of that, there wasn't a pressure there, and there really wasn't a pressure to have... They just wanted me to get through school, guys. They wanted me to graduate from high school, and it just never occurred to me that that might not be a reality as I was going and doing. But you know, so I think that was the only thing they just really wanted. And they kind of stayed out of... I honestly think they just... surrendered me to the Lord at one point. You know, like they did what the Lord, like what they felt nudged to do for me and what actions to take. But I do think that it, you know, the pressure went away because they were just going, okay, Lord, what do we do next? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Sure. I want to, and I'll say this because I think we in 2026 life, we exist in this gravitational pull that's bigger than we are in extracurriculars, the private coaches in both, in all things, with baseball, all kinds of sports, dance, gymnastics, you name it. I mean, private music lessons, but you name it. We're in this gravitational pull that's much bigger than we are. So I'll say this as children's ministers and as mothers, how do you see that pressure play out in the lives of not just families, but the kids themselves mm-hmm. today?
Yeah, I see, well, both as my role here at the church, but also as a parent of elementary children. I mean, I face these pressures too. There's so much opportunity that is offered, and oftentimes without even a prayerful reflection on would that be a good and worthwhile opportunity and in God's will for my child. There's just this impulse of yes, 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 we'll do this and we'll do that because everyone's doing that and we need to do that. And so that, there's so many effects of that where families are overscheduled and don't have time to spend time with one another and are going from one thing to the next and their children are tired. And so I just see a pattern of so many options and sometimes not the pause, to pause and pray and to talk to children first. Okay, if we did this opportunity is available. If we did this, what would our family life look like over the next 4 to 5 months? What would it look like if we did do this? What would it look like if we didn't? And oftentimes we'll hear from parents and they truly are like, we didn't know it would mean all of this. We just signed up for it and then now it's taking up our whole life, and we see this almost not realizing what it actually looked like. And so, yeah, I just see a lot of opportunity to do things and just a lot of yeses that sometimes are maybe a no in that particular season might have been the best option. And then say yes to that same opportunity the next year or the next season. But there's so many options. It's hard for people to say no. People don't want to be left out, and they don't want their kiddo to get behind and think that if we don't do this, then it will truly affect the next step in life. When really we want our prayer to be, Lord, what do you want for my child? And whether my child does this or not, help my child find their security in you and you alone, not this activity or sport or team or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I see this in the pressure, especially with just the name of this class. What if my child doesn't play sports? And there's two things to that. One, they're not interested in it. And two, they may not make the team. Mm-hmm. I never get more texts than during basketball tryouts. I'm serious. Like, it's like, so-and-so has basketball tryout today, and this is going to feel devastated if he doesn't make the team. What help? It's sort of like the text, just so you know. And then if someone's told, you know, if they make the team, then it's like, yes, this is what we all wanted. And if he doesn't make the team, then that's where a lot of the pastoral care has to happen. And the parental care of your kids has to happen. If the thing that they want doesn't happen, then the question is, well, where does life go from here? So I'll say there's a couple questions that I want to kind of ask into that vein. But the first being, how do you pray for your kids in living in this time?
Yeah. Well, even before the prayer, or maybe after the prayer, I've made a point in my children's life, whatever they're doing, to try, and particularly if they're excelling at it, to try to reiterate, this is not who you are. You play this activity and you love it and you are good at it, but this does not really add value to who you are as a human. Your value comes from the Lord. So I try to impart that on them so that down the road, when there is a setback or we're just like on this mountain because we think we're everything because we're so good at that, I truly want all of your kids and our kids and every kid to know that whatever they're doing, whether they made it or not good or great, that does not define who they are. And we as parents have a role to share that with them over and over. This activity is so fun, but this is just something that you do. This is not who you are. But my prayer, I tend to pray more, this actually helps my actions as a parent too. When I'm truly praying for my children, it is for their relationship with the Lord. I kind of tend to envision them as adults, Lord willing, they live a long lasting life. And I find myself praying for them in marriage and as a father or a mother and future. And that really does help me put things in perspective. If I keep which I do, of course, have daily prayers for all the little things, but mine are, childhood is so short, teenage years are so short, adulthood is a long time. Mm-hmm. And I want my children to be followers of Christ first and foremost, that they find their security in Christ alone and they trust him in all things. And if that prayer filters down into all of our daily choices, but it helps me see the bigger picture of them as a follower of Jesus and not, are they going to have friends if they don't make the piano team, whatever it might be. Point them towards Jesus. That helps me put everything in perspective.
Yeah. I would say two things, just going back as far as like how do I see pressure to do things play out. The first, I would say, It just happens so fast. You don't even know it's happening, where you're like, you say yes before even evaluating if that's good for your family or not. What I'm learning is, what's my motivation for saying yes to this thing? Is it that I'm putting my security in like a group collective, right? And what they're doing in their mentality, or my self-esteem in my child not being left behind, those kinds of things, like really trying to slow down and evaluate that. And that has been really helpful lately for us. I would say the other thing, my oldest child is busy and she is an athlete. She wants that. She has wanted that. She has asked for that. My son, who is naturally athletic, I do think has seen some things play out, like on the ball field or at a basketball game. And he's just like, I don't want any part of that. He has seen intensity and he doesn't, that's not good for him. He's just like, I don't really want to be a part. I don't want to do that. He has found a sport that he does love and like right now, but it's probably because neither one of us know anything about how to play it. It's soccer. And so we can't tell him what to do or where to go or how to be. We don't know who the special coaches are. And we did have a family moment where he was placed on a lower team and the knee jerk was, I wonder why that happened. Maybe we should call the coach and ask. And I said, well, is he upset that he's on the B team? And it was like, no, he has no clue. He's not upset about it. So why are we jumping in? And it's like the lie is, well, we're jumping in because we're his parents and we're responsible and maybe we just nudge him this way, we'll get the most, he'll reach his potential. When in reality, it's like, just look and listen and pray. The Lord will direct the path. And then as far as how do I pray for my children, I would say recently it really is just that they would know the Lord. Lord, let them know and love you and who you are. and then please surround them with people who know and love you and can speak your truth to them. And he has answered that in spades, whether it is a friend, a coach, a mom, a Sunday school teacher. And so many points where I'm like, I don't know what to say, or I'm not getting through. 2 days later, my daughter will come home and be like, I had this great conversation with so-and-so, and guess what she said? I'm like, that's what I've been saying. But you're listening to her, so I just don't care. I don't care where it comes from. As long as it's having an impact. And I do pray for who, you know, their future, who they marry. And most of all, too, lately I've prayed for them to have eyes to see, because trial comes. And in that, I just pray, like, Lord, I pray that they would see you in this, and that they would trust you in this, and that they would see evidence of you so that they could see your care for them in this or that. So a lot of prayers for eyes to see and ears to hear.
So this question is sort of framed for two different sort of groups. One towards the kid who wants to play a school sport or wants to be on a team and doesn't make the team, but then also towards parents that might say, if my child doesn't play a school sport, who are their friends going to be and how are they going to make it in life? So in light of those two sort of people, what are the benefits of not doing an extracurricular activity?
More family quality time. I mean, my experience was different growing up. Because I didn't do a lot of extracurriculars, that did not mean I had more family time. Not having a lot of that really put in my heart a desire to form my own family that would have that. But we, as a family who has children who does enjoy extracurriculars, that's always been in the back of our minds, and truthfully, from mentors here at the Advent, instilling in us family time with your children is so formative, and building relationships with them is so informative. That's helped us to really question and reflect as a family when an opportunity comes up to do the extra team, or there's an opportunity for this coach or that, to really sit there and reflect with our children, what might it look like if we didn't do that? And there's been two wonderful seasons where my son, who could have done an extra 4 month season of something, chose not to. And when we really listened to him, he was basically saying he wants to hang out with us, which we were like, praise the Lord. But it was so he could go hunting with my husband on the weekends. He wouldn't have been able to do that had he played football that year. So we could go out of town, so we could go out to eat more on the weekends and just spend time together. And so a benefit of that is spending more time with your children, which is amazing and makes memories. And it doesn't mean your life has been changed. Guess what? He's probably going to play football next year. But we had this little pocket of time where we weren't as busy, and we sat at the dinner table more together. And it was, everyone felt it in our family. It was wonderful. And we actually talk about seasons like that a lot. When he then said no to something else, it gave us more time. And we don't have that many years, you know, before they're out. So, yeah, more, I would say the best benefit is probably quality time.
That is a helpful thing to point to. Just like, do you remember those 4 months when we just had a great time as a family? Mm-hmm. Like, so it just has something to hold up as you're weighing options. Like, yeah. It's an actual thing we're pointing to that happened, that was good.
Yeah.
For the kid, for the family,
yeah.
Et cetera.
We got to go to Braves and Georgia games. Like, win-win. The whole family win, yeah. You know? It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, to the person who says, you know, my child really wanted to make the team or wanted to do this and they didn't, you know, they didn't make it. We've been through that. I would say, number one, there are just so many options out there. You know, there really are. I really did think that if my child loved volleyball, the only way she was going to be able to continue to play was if she made the junior high team. So then when she didn't make it, I was going, Lord, what are you doing? This was part of my plan. Why did you not back it up? Because, you know, and but I'll say, like, there are other things that she could do and other options that we learned about. And then also the time of rest was really good for her to do her homework and get used to junior high and all the things. Like, looking back, I can see, obviously we know this, but he really does know her better than I do and did have a plan for her. And then I would say to, you know, to the the parent that kind of feels like, you know, my child doesn't really want to do much of anything. Maybe my child is an introvert. You know, it really is. I'm learning. It's about just saying, okay, Lord, like, you've made each one of us uniquely and differently. And please give me eyes to see the giftings that you have given my child, and just help me to help them steward them well, like by the power of your Spirit. And it really, he really does. And, you know, the prayer for eyes to see is just a constant prayer for me, because I really will get distracted and on my own path. And truly, like, he reveals, like, oh my God, you really are good at that, or you're good at this. And it is different than what I thought it was going to be. And I think he does that on purpose to grow me and to grow them and to grow my marriage and my dependence on the Lord. So the trust factor is so huge. Like, we may not look like everybody or walk like everybody or talk like everybody in terms of how everybody's spending their time, but that's okay, because the body's made of many members with many different gifts. And I think sometimes, I know in the past I've gotten so wrapped up in, but this is what I want to be like, and this is who I want us to be. And the Lord is saying, no, I want to use you over here, or I want to use your children here. And that's okay. You know, I hope that's helpful.
Well, yeah, very cool. I was going to ask you, it's just as we close, because I want to have a few minutes for questions. And you might have already said these things, but I want you to say them again if whatever they are. What encouraging words do you have for, as we finish this interview, what's your number one encouraging word for children who are worried about not being on a school team, or they just don't want to be, or parents who are raising kids in this nonstop environment?
I would say the biggest encouragement I would give would be, even when your children are 2 and 3 years old, start speaking life, which is the truth, that the Lord is over every, like, I could cry talking about mm-hmm. that. He is over every aspect of their entire life. And that's the going to Mother's Day out for the first time and doing the recital that they're nervous about. If all the way up to trying out, if they're trying to make a team their senior year. And so if we as parents and the body of Christ, our church, could speak life over these children, that the Lord is over every single aspect of their life. He already knows what's going to happen. So we're speaking that to them. That's what they can rely on. That's what they can rest and settle. Of course, try your hardest and do X, Y, or Z, but for them to truly know going into anything, or dealing with the disappointment of, I really wanted to do this and I'm not that good enough to do it. Okay, well, the Lord is over your life and over that, and we can trust in that. He has a purposeful plan for you. Every scenario can be pointed towards the care that our loving Father has over these children. And so that would be my encouragement, whenever we can, to point them to that, for our voices to speak that over them in every scenario, not just the extracurriculars, to where that becomes something that they truly believe and can trust. So when they don't make the team or they can't, you know, they know, okay, I can trust the Lord. He has a plan for me, and it wasn't this, and that means that is best for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And I would say, I mean, I just would reiterate that. I mean, I think, you know, I would encourage you, and this is hard, and you're going to do it at first, and then a bunch of other times are going to happen and you'll get better, but, like, just don't panic, you know? And I say that as someone who has panicked and seen the outcome, and then as somebody who has begun to really turn will and life over to the care of God, meaning, you know, looking at my child and saying, you know, I don't really know why this is happening, but I can tell you that I know you belong to the Lord. I have prayed it every night. I know you belong to him, and I know that he has a plan for you. And then I would say, as things go on, pointing that out to them. Like, do you see that conversation you had with so-and-so was the answer to the prayer that you had just been praying? Or, you know, listen to what happened in my life, the way he showed up, or this little detail that he made very apparent to me, that he's watching and he's there with me and he's providing for me. You know, I would encourage you to point out his goodness and providence and intervention in their lives as they go on as well. Yeah. I hope that helped.
Great. Thank you both. Yeah, really appreciate it. Okay, we have a few minutes for questions, if there are any from the gallery today.
Okay, so we are approaching a high school dance tryouts, and we have been through not making it, and looking back on it, it was really an amazing thing for her because it gave her so much drive and passion for dance, and she never would have made it in eighth grade if she had made it in seventh, she would never have made it again, I don't think. So it was such a blessing that she did not make the team. Mm-hmm. Then she made it eighth and ninth, and now she's trying out for 10th, and she is so stressed. I've never seen her so stressed, and I've tried to talk with her and pray with her and tell her, you know, like, this is not your work. This is not, you know, this is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. It's not in dance. But do y'all have any advice for just, like, praying with her or just trying to help her have a peace about it before it comes? Because, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you chime in, Tara, too. We've been through similar situations with my oldest and just with performance in general, you know. And one question that's helpful is, you know, anxiety underneath that is fear. So, you know, what are you afraid of? Can you tell me, like, what you're afraid of? Well, I'm afraid I might not make the team. Well, okay, so tell me a little bit more about that. Like, in your brain, when fear comes in that you didn't make the team, what do you envision? You know, and sometimes it'll be that I'm alone at the lunch table and nobody's sitting next to me because the whole team's over there, or I'm missing out, or whatever it is. And sometimes when you can get to those little nuggets of what the fear is, you can sometimes see a little lie creep in. Like, what's the lie in your head telling you that this is everything, you know? And then I think that gives you an opportunity to more acutely combat that the best that you can, you know, but sort of saying, like, you know, or to even say too, like, and if that does happen, you're going to be okay. I mean, we've run the tape out before with my daughter, where it's like we get to the end of the tape where she's like, and I'm alone in the house and nobody calls me and I'm the worst, you know, and I'll say, okay, and then what? And she's like, but y'all are here. And I'm like, yes, we're here, you know, and then what? Well, God loves me. Yes, you know, that kind of thing. So there's just a few helpful hints, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but
something, this is just really practical and simple. The word, God's word in the Bible can just be so much more powerful than our own. And so, like, what a gift if you could find some scripture easy to remember and just put post-it notes, like, in her backpack, on her dresser, and point out, like, this is distracting you from the peace that the Lord wants you to feel in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so trying to recognize that the real prayer here is for you to feel a peace. And so, like, and model praying for that peace and not even mention anything about the dance team. Mm-hmm. Like, we just want peace within our hearts. We want to feel secure, and the Lord provides that. Mm-hmm. Something else that's been a very visual but practical thing that I've done for myself, but also with my children, is I would ask, if you were alone right now on an island with just you and Jesus, would you be so stressed out or upset? And usually the answer is no. And sometimes that helps them see, okay, this is like related to other people in comparison to other people, that it's the outside world that's really helping, adding to the stress and pressure. Okay, if you would feel at peace with just you and Jesus, like, let's lean into that and try to focus on the love and the care and the comfort we have in Him. Just for them to kind of see the tension, you know, of the pressures of the world, like, truly affecting our heart and steadiness.
Yeah. I guess this more for elementary age kids before they do try out, and they want to do everything because their friends are doing it, but as parents, you want to guard family time, and you say, like, we're just not going to do that in our house. We're not going to push out of baseball. We're not going to push out of basketball. We're not going to do every single thing, but all their friends are doing it. What's your input or advice on how to handle that with your children?
Yeah, that's kind of tricky. We've played the balance of saying just no to some things to saying yes to others. So I think if you were to say, chances are if you were to say no to something, they're probably already doing something else. So I would try to point out, if you and your family truly don't want to do A, B, and C, will point out that you're still doing A and B, and if the friend aspect of it is such a large piece of it, chances are they might need help seeing that they really do have opportunities to be with those friends. They're at school, they can hang out on the weekends and things like that. But it might not be, we're not doing anything. So maybe emphasizing, you really are doing A and B. We're just not doing this piece. And let's just see how it goes. Because every year is a new year, and you can likely get involved with something if you regretted not doing something. But having the experience of not doing it is a helpful tool to look back on and reflect.
And I think, too, you can walk them through, even if they're little, like, you can walk them through your thought process on that. Like, hey, you know, like, mom and dad, like, we've talked about it and we've prayed about it, and we really feel like this is important for us. We have to make a team decision, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's kind of what we've said to our family at times, where it's like, that's just not going to work in the schedule, or we want to protect this time, we value this time. You know, just sort of saying, hey, we came together and we decided as a family what's best for us and the things that we really want to do together. And if they're like, well, golly, that means I'm not, you know, I'm still missing out on the friends. I think that you can create other, you can point out what you're already doing as well. You can also create some other opportunities, not so busy, but maybe you do kind of bump up the play dates a little bit, you know, or something like that, where they do have other opportunities to be with their friends outside of sports, you know. But I think it's valuable to kind of walk them through, like, hey, we actually took some time to pray about it, and this is where we feel led, and that's just where we are with it. You know, I promise you it's going to work out, kind of thing.
Good. One more quick thought. I think helpful to talk about your family as a family unit. My parents were always like, I have this twin brother and this little sister, and my brother and I always wanted to play the travel sports. My parents were always like, sorry, but we're a family that zags. If they're zigging, we might be zagging here. And our family motto, my dad would always say, dare to be different. And which was helpful, because it was like, if I felt like, well, it wasn't a me thing, it was a family thing. My parents were always like, we prioritize sitting down at the dinner table together. Sorry, like that's priority number one for us. Mm-hmm. And that kind of got in, just like, we don't miss church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. That gets in you after a while. And so I just think that, and that will help them far beyond 18 years old in making decisions as a family. But just to say, like, this is our family. This is what we're doing. We've thought about it. Let's talk about it. And this is where we're landing.
And it's laying the groundwork for not looking to what everybody else is doing and the fear that if I don't do that, I'm going to be left out. Like, you're laying that groundwork of sort of like, no, you can pause and evaluate, and it's like, and it's going to be okay and work out, as opposed to like, well, I guess if everybody's, then yeah, sure, you know, yeah. Which I've made that mistake, yeah. Sure.
Amen. Thank you all.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.